it's almost crass. You know, they refer to people as consumers.
Yeah.
I'm not a fucking consumer.
Yeah.
I'm not here to just consume anything. Yeah. I'm a person, and I have, I want to have a meaning to my life, you know, and I want these tools to help me with that.
I've never met anyone like it.
He could hack anybody's phone in a matter of minutes. Who is that guy? Who can do that?
Thomas is the most interesting man in the world.
He's one of my favorite people on the planet. Inventor.
Wicked smart.
The master of cutting corners.
If you had a dead body in your trunk, who would you call?
He would get arrested immediately in a lineup.
I stood in line to get his autograph.
You know, his mouth can barely keep up his brain.
I don't actually know what Pablos does.
A hacker magician.
Man of the future. 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 Future.
What I saw is, you know, you started out very early, you know, even in the 70s and through the 80s, trying to explore these ideas about how do we make computers personal, make the technology personal. To me, that matters a lot, and I just think it's a North Star to me. It always has been, and I think that it's just not even part of the conversation.
Okay.
You know, when I look around, what I see is a lack of vision and how these things can be made positive for people. There's a lot of cases where people are building things and they'll say, it's almost crass, you know, they refer to people as consumers.
Yeah.
I'm not a fucking consumer.
Yeah.
I'm not here to just consume anything.
Yeah.
I'm a person, and I want to have a meaning to my life, you know, and I want these tools to help me with that. So I guess I know how I got there, but and how I got there is because guys like you came before me. And so I could just draft off that. What I want to know is like, what gave you that? How did you get on that track? You know, like what, you know, okay. If I could have okay. done this 40 years ago and interviewed you then, what is it that got you on that track?
My deep family history is the Holocaust.
Okay, good to know.
Dramatic for everybody. Revolutionary things can have a horrible component to them. Mm-hmm. Hitler was a revolutionary idea, brilliant, mm-hmm. you know, genius level. We might have another one in 1600 pen. But these guys are brilliant and cause chaos. Yeah. So when I was a teenager, the Vietnam War was raging, and a lot of things were happening. I lived through five revolutions, simultaneous revolutions, in a very condensed period of time in my adolescence. Hmm. And the anti-war movement, I was a radical, I was an organizer.
Yeah.
Counterculture, I was a hippie, I was living in a commune, and you know, I was a hippie.
Yeah.
It's just like, and feminism, which we did not know it by that name at all, it was, for us, it was, of course, you know, the women, and they were just...
It was called women's liberation, maybe.
Even before.
And it got before.
Before, it was, the women in our community, the women in our anti-war movement, we just people. So, yeah. And then I came to realize it was actually revolutionary. There's that. Environmentalism. Mm-hmm. Rachel Carson's just done Silent Spring book, which was one of the triggers for the entire environmental movement. So there's a strong environmental revolution beginning to take place. And civil rights.
Yeah.
I went to the South to do civil rights, you know, organizing and voter registration in the Deep South, and almost got killed for it, but there it is. So to me, revolutions are real. I was born of revolutions, and when you were this may be more than you want to know, but I was an organizer. When you're organizing a demonstration, a big one, anti-war, yeah. It was successful if TV came out.
Right.
Walter Cronkite, you know, would have been but if television had come out there to cover it, you were successful. So I thought, television is power. And I'm going to go to Columbia University.
Okay.
And become president of CBS News. It's because that's the power.
Yeah.
So I went to Columbia and I spoke with two professors of mine, Lou Cowan and Fred Friendly, who had been presidents of CBS News. And they said, Mark, you don't understand anything. Television news is about packaging audiences to sell to advertisers. It has nothing to do with anything that you want to do.
Yeah.
dispirited. But communication is power. Stuck, and it became information is power. Computers had just started. And I was on that track by the mid-70s, or early 70s, to go figure out what is this information revolution. It's powerful. Came to Stanford, did a PhD on the information economy, went to the Aspen Institute, did a movie on the information society. I was into it. Information, okay. information. It always had for me then and now, even though I'm doing all of this AI stuff, it's not about the tools. It's human-centric. So I'm a kind of a humanist.
Yeah.
At core.
Yeah.
So the question is, how do these powerful technologies manifest on humans? Well, and that got me going.
Just before you go into that.
Yeah.
I mean, you describe these, you're trying to make these films on information society. How did information become the center of gravity in that moment?
Power.
Because you correlated.
Jews were powerless when they were taken to the concentration
camp. Yeah, right.
Right? The everybody that I mentioned in civil rights and
yes.
anti-war, they were powerless people.
That's right.
And so information is power. I want that. Whatever that is, I want that.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Got it. Okay. So then, so even at that stage anyway, technology wasn't part of the equation really. It was just other than, TV has broadcast, but.
And computers are booming and all that stuff is happening.
Oh, okay.
Mainframes and just the beginning of mini computers.
Yeah.
But I can see the power. Mm-hmm. It was changing. It would change everything, change the economy and so forth, change people.
You could see that the computers were going to become a gravitational center for power.
The power center and also the economic center.
I don't think people believed it for a long time.
Well,
I
mean, that was my PhD.
It was your PhD.
Which was, became a very famous PhD. It was translated into many languages.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And so that's how you ended up with this early conviction that computers were going to be something. I mean, Revenge of the Nerds, you were right.
Well, it's post-industrial society.
Yeah, okay.
Daniel Bell was my beacon, and we are post-industrial people, where it's all about our mental skills that define success, So that's how I got there.
Yeah, okay.
So then the quest was, well, what does it mean? And I started on this thing in 1972, and in 1988, I can give you all the details, but 1988, I was in a restaurant with my wife, then wife, near Broadway. It's called Un de Trois, so whatever, right there, Times Square. And I said, I've been thinking. Darling, I want to show you something.
Yeah.
And the restaurant had paper tablecloths with crayons. I grabbed a crayon and I did three circles, and those three circles, one was compute, communication, and content. And I said, I figured it out. So this is now 16 years. The little computer is going to be in your hand. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be, just with you everywhere. It'll become indispensable to you as a person. It'll cover everything, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with loved ones, family, friends, your relationship with commerce, your relationship with absolutely everything is going to be in this hand, in your hand, tiny. Communication was going to be wireless, because otherwise you couldn't do what I just said.
Yep.
So everything was going to flip upside down. Things that were in the air, which is radio and television, were going to go in telephony. We're going to go in the ground.
Yeah.
And things in the ground, which was long lines and all that stuff, was going to go up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then content was going to be publishing and commerce. Content.
Yep.
Plus the content you generated. So everything you generated plus everything
you become content.
So this is 1988.
But do you feel like you came to that conclusion because of you could see the technologies converging this way? Was that the driver, or was it just some other?
At the center of the Venn diagram was the word you.
Okay, sure.
You. So I started from that core, is who's the you in the information society, in the information economy, because I'd done those two things.
Yep.
PhD in the movie. And you empowered by what I was seeing in the information revolution,
mm-hmm. yeah.
invented this. It came from the humanistic core
mm-hmm.
of what would life be like when technology was like suffused into everything.
Right.
Came up with that.
Yeah.
You were at the center. And I came with that piece of paper
yeah.
to Apple. I was recruited by Larry Tesler, who was a chief scientist. He and I were hippies together.
Okay.
Anti-war hippies.
I didn't know that. Cool.
So the anti-war hippie thing.
So you knew him before?
Yeah. Okay. The anti-war hippie thing got me to Apple.
Oh, wow.
And he said, rock it. Let's see what can happen. Then yeah. So I went around Apple and visited every board of director in their homes and offices and places all over the country. And put together an amazing team.
And what was that? Was this before? I remember that Knowledge Navigator
same
video.
Time.
Did you guys make that, or was
no,
that?
No, it already existed, but it was inspired. Yeah. I mean, it was inspired by that.
That existed before.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
It had just been made. It was okay, brilliant. It. I thought it was brilliant.
In the mid-80s somewhere. Okay.
Yeah. So whoever made that, I've never spoken to them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should look. I should actually find who made it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, because I really it was instrumental in.
Yeah.
And it had already been in the culture a little bit in Apple.
Okay.
So, anyway, so John Sculley was convinced, and he's super convinced, and he called, you know, Bill Atkinson was convinced, and we called Andy Hertzfeld. That's in the movie, the General Magic movie
that
you may have seen.
I've seen the film.
Yeah. And then that lit up, and then everybody in the Valley wanted to work at General Magic, and off we went.
And so Apple didn't want to do it internally, or what was that?
No, I said, I'm not doing this.
Oh, you didn't want to do it internally.
Yeah. I'd come in and I said, hi, everybody.
Yeah.
I have this idea, and it's and computers are not where Apple is headed.
Yeah, okay.
And the establishment went, fuck you.
Yeah, right.
Jean-Louis Gasset was president of Apple Products. He just wanted to kill me, you know. So it was clear that there was going to be a lot of cultural resistance.
Okay.
And I needed to move fast.
Yeah.
So I said to John, we're going out.
Okay.
And he, great, kind of introduced me to George Fisher, who was chairman CEO of Motorola.
Of which?
Motorola.
Oh, Motorola, yeah.
And to Nori Oga, who was president of Sony. Mm-hmm. They lit up,
mm-hmm.
and that was my board.
Wow.
And they financed it, and then we got a total of 16 huge corporations.
You know, AT&T. Crazy to think about, like in a lot of ways, no huge corporation actually would finance a startup in that mode today.
No.
And,
no.
You know, and partly because we've just systematized all of early stage startup machinery and venture capital and everything. But, but to have a startup, like an actual startup from the beginning, get the heads of big corporations on the board and finance a startup, it's like, it's unheard of.
Unheard of, yeah. So at the CEO level, we brought in Sony, Matsushita, Hitachi, Toshiba.
Sure, amazing.
Philips.
Okay.
At the CEO level, we brought in AT&T, NTT, France Telecom, Cable and Wireless.
No, I mean, I would think all of that would completely kill a startup.
Yeah, it did.
Do you think it did kill it? Okay, all right. Yeah. So, not recommending that, but that's what you try to do.
No.
Yeah.
That was, and we were running basically a consortium of these very powerful companies. We had to start every meeting of the Founding Partners Council with a speech from an antitrust attorney.
Wow.
Because they were the entire market.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and it eventually, their demands, their paranoia about everything and their demands killed the company.
Well, that's...